This is Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. Thank you so much for tuning in this afternoon. We are excited about another show. We're coming up on a pretty exciting week next week. As next Wednesday, me and a couple staff members will be going to Washington, D.C. to join tens of thousands for the March for Life. And I'll be calling into the Bob Bell Show that week as well, and while I'm in D.C. and talking about it. And so looking forward to that. Today, though, today is special. Today is special for a number of reasons, but today is going to be a little bit personal. And I say that because my family has just lost a great member of the Wood family. And so today is going to be personal, but it's going to be personal from a standpoint of it will help explain to you, the listener, it'll help explain to a lot of folks why it is that I'm pro-life, why it is that I'm at Hope Resource Center, why do we do the work that we do at Hope Resource Center. And what it will also do, as I'm being honest, is it allow me a place to talk and to talk about the life that my granddad lived. And so as I've done in the past, when I think about things like this, the best thing that I can do is to put that on paper. And when I say on paper, I mean I type it and it goes on to the screen of the computer. So that's what I want to do today, is kind of read you something and then just talk about the importance of living life well. A great man passed away on Monday, January 16th, 2017. He was not a politician, a celebrity, or well-known. His passing will not be felt around the globe. He will be laid to rest on Saturday next to his wife of almost 60 years. Ira Bruce Wood, my granddad, affectionately known as Pawpaw. It is that man. He was not a world traveler, an artist, or a man of finer things. He believed television was full of rubbish and country music had died. He was completely comfortable with his life on Estella Road in a small rural town in Tennessee. Success to him was not based on a bank account or a credit line. He did not desire fame or fortune. He loved his God, his wife, his family, and his land. Those were the things that mattered. Our culture tends to focus a great deal on successful, quote-unquote, people. They write stories about the billionaires, the celebrities, and the politicians. They feed us with dreams of fame and fortune, but the reality is, people like my pawpaw are what makes this society move. There are men that spend their lives in small communities seeking to make a living and provide for their families. These men serve their church, pay their taxes, and pour into the next generation. This deserves our appreciation. You see, my pawpaw's generation was cut from a different cloth. They are a people that understood what tough times were and that God and family is what brings you through. My pawpaw didn't have leadership books on a shelf for the latest how-to guide on life. He simply lived life well. My pawpaw didn't believe in handouts, but he was always ready and willing to assist those in need. Farming communities are built this way. You watch your neighbor's place. You alert them of strange activity or step in and wrangle up cows if a fence has a hole in it. We were raised to love our neighbor. We needed them and they needed us. This idea was birthed out of my pawpaw's love for God and his word. This example he set for all of us made us who we are today. We love our wives, our kids, and our work because of him. He wasn't educated at the finest universities, but his wisdom on life far surpasses anything I learned from a lecture in college. I serve as the executive director at Hope because of him and the life he led. He modeled a pro-life mindset by his actions. He showed me that God and the local church matter. Hard work beats laziness. Marriage is beautiful, and that life is a gift deserving of our appreciation. I get up every day and partner with our staff and community to see that life would be celebrated. We believe that every person we come in contact with deserves our respect and love. Hope opened its doors 20 years ago when my pawpaw was 75 and I was an immature middle school kid. We didn't even know Hope existed, but it is clear now to me that my pawpaw was grooming me for the position I currently hold. Yes, my pawpaw lived a simple life in a very small community, but his impact on this society and our culture is far-reaching as his children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren go out and make their marks. I've been blessed beyond belief during my time on this planet. But one of the most treasured blessings the Lord has ever granted me was to be called the grandson of Bruce Wood. And that truth can never be taken away. So today, as I reflect on the life of Bruce Wood, my granddad, all I'm reminded of is why life is valuable, why it's important. Because for some of us, we look at 95 years of life and you say, man, he lived a long life. I mean, if I were to live till I'm 95, that's 60-something more years for me. But it goes so quickly. And so I remember as a kid watching my pawpaw interact with my grandma, and I remember watching him work. And I remember him coming in from the barn where they, because it's a dairy farm, and he milked twice a day. And he didn't complain. He never once looked at me and said, I can't believe I have to do this work. As a matter of fact, when he stopped milking, I remember my grandma, when she was living, she told me, she said, your pawpaw goes to that barn, a 16-year-old man, but he comes back an 80-something-year-old man. Because his body was wearing out. And I remember my grandma saying, your pawpaw just walks to the back door and he just looks at the barn, wishing he could be over there milking the cows. The same pawpaw that this past summer was on a tractor working in the fields at 95 years old. The same pawpaw that society would say is crippled and handicapped because he has a deformity in his back and it makes him hunch over. But he never complained. It is that mindset, it is that model that he set that told me, told my brothers, that told my family, look, we were put on this planet for a purpose. Put on this planet for a purpose. Now, the society elites, the cultural elites will say that the small town communities, the small farmer are dying off and the small farmer is not making a huge impact and the small farmer doesn't have the brains and the education to make a difference. But in reality, it's the small farmer, it's the small communities that are making everything go. And over the last few months, I've seen obituary after obituary of my pawpaw's generation in Cornersville, the small town that I grew up in. Many of them are seeing their last days. And although I moved away from there and I moved 4 hours down the road to what we would call a big city of Knoxville, it is the time spent in that small community. It is the time spent in that K-12 public school. It is the time spent with my parents and with my grandparents on the farm. It is that time spent that shaped and molded me into who I am today. And I wouldn't trade any of it. And so some of you may be listening to this and you're going, what does this have to do with Hope Resource Center? Well, because as a society, we have reached a point where not only do we devalue life at abortion, with abortion, but we devalue life at the end stage via doctor-assisted suicide. Where they're old, they lived a good life, as if that is supposed to be comfort. Because when we devalue life on both ends of the spectrum, we have devalued life in everywhere between. And so my 95-year-old granddad, who took his last breaths yesterday, what he did for the last 95 years, at least for the 32 years that I've had to be in his presence, was modeled for me a pro-life mindset. He modeled for me a pro-family mindset. I was engaged to get married when I was 21 years old, and I was married at 22. And a lot of my friends at the time, I wasn't even out of college yet, a lot of my friends at the time were saying, "How do you know? You're awfully young to get married." But you know why I got married young? Because of my papa and my grandmama, my grandma, and because of my granddaddy and my grandmama. My mom's parents have been married now for 65 years. My papa, who lost his wife, my grandma, 4 years ago, they were married for 59 years. And so I grew up watching that. I grew up wanting that so bad. And you see, what they had was not this fairy tale, unattainable marriage that you see on ABC Family or Lifetime or whatever. It wasn't this unattainable thing. It was a real, like, they are living every single day as a married couple. And some days are bad, some days are good, but they love each other deeply. And in the Wood family, what you have is you have a bunch of men that don't know how to share emotions. And you're probably listening to me going, well, what happened to you? Because at times I hear you get choked up and I see tears. Well, I'm a little bit different. But the vast majority of the Wood men kind of keep everything bottled up, and we don't show that. So my pawpaw didn't show that necessarily. But when my grandma was laying there dying 4 years ago, I was in the hospital room, and I looked over. And when we got the news that it wasn't good news and my grandma's days were coming to an end, my 91-year-old granddad reached down and rubbed the face of my grandma. And I remember thinking immediately, that's what I want. And so he didn't realize it. But as he rubbed her face and as he told her, "Pauline, I'm going to miss you." "Pauline, don't go." As he told her that, I watched that as a young man going, "God, please give me that. Please give me that." And then I would sit with my papa over the last few years, and he would say, "You know, I lay here in this recliner, and I look over, and I see your grandmother in the other recliner. I know she's not here, but I see her." Because he loved her deeply. So he didn't know. He was just trying to vent his emotions somehow. But what he didn't realize was he was shaping and molding me. And so throughout his entire life, I've watched him work. I've watched him drink sweet tea. I've watched him eat honey and biscuits. I've watched all of that, and I've soaked it all in. I've watched how he got on and off the tractor. And I tried to do exactly that when I would get on and off the tractor. I watched how he interacted with neighbors. I watched how he interacted with the dogs and the animals. I watched how he interacted with his grandchildren, how he interacted with his great-grandchildren, how he interacted with his pastor and with people that he went to church with, how he interacted with his wife. I watched all of that, and I soaked it all in. And it is because of that that I get up every single day and say life has value, and we must fight for every single life out there. Babies in the womb, moms carrying those babies, dads that are involved, families, all of that. It's not enough for me to just say, "Well, I'm pro-life, but every woman has a right to choose." That's not enough. We must go further and say life deserves our celebration. And I'm willing to stand with that woman that feels like she's in crisis and has no other option, because she is an image bearer and deserves it. Not to push her into a choice that will wreck her the rest of her life, but tell her, "You're not making this decision alone. We're here for you, and that's why Hope opened its doors." We'll be back in a sec. Hey, we're back. It's Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. Again, thank you so much for listening. You can learn more about Hope, investinghope.com. You can follow us on Facebook, on Twitter, Instagram. We're at all of those places, and we certainly appreciate your support. So I'm going to talk about my pawpaw throughout today's show, but it's not all going to be about him. What we're going to do is look at, currently we are celebrating Sanctity of Life Month. So the month of January, every single year, what we do is we focus on the sanctity of life. We do that in churches. We do that by marching and all kinds of different things. And so what I want to do is quickly touch on the local churches in this community. I have been blown away at the desire to see life championed and life celebrated. And so last Wednesday, I spoke at a men's group at a church. This past Saturday, I spoke at Seventh Day Christian Assembly. This past Sunday, I spoke at Black Oak Heights Baptist Church. And just the fact that they were willing to give me that opportunity is truly remarkable and truly amazing and just blessed to be a part of. And so this past Sunday at Black Oak Heights, so I'm speaking and this was all happening while I knew that at any moment in time, my granddad was probably going to take his last breath. They were getting ready to move him to hospice. So that was the plan. He was going to move to hospice, and then we didn't know. It could be, you know, a couple days, could be a week, could be, you know, we weren't sure. And so I'm speaking this past Sunday, and my granddad went to a small rural church where they sang hymns, and it's traditional as traditional can be. And I don't typically worship that way now. I don't, you know, the church that I'm involved in, we sing, you know, more contemporary style and those type things. But this past Sunday, I was at, and I joked when I got up to speak, I said, I didn't realize I was coming to the Gaither homecoming hour. And it was such a sweet moment to hear those hymns sung well and to see the look in the people's eyes of truly celebrating what God is doing in their lives. And then after I speak, to then see so many people come forward and pray for each other and hug each other and love on each other and to see the hearts of so many people. And what we saw there was we saw a need and a desire to not only care about that baby in the womb, but to care about those that have maybe that chose abortion at one point. To care about those that have struggled in their past, to care about the men that have paid for or driven someone to get an abortion or convinced someone to have an abortion. And so what we saw there was we saw the gospel. We saw that grace and mercy is a beautiful thing. We saw that Christ died on the cross for a purpose, for you on your worst day, not just your best day. And so this Sunday, I'm going to speak at Calvary out on Kingston Pike at their AM service. And I'm going out to Union Baptist out on Maynardville Pike on Sunday night. And so I'm going to do all of these things because we want the local church to lead the charge in the life movement. Now understand this, this charge isn't led out of bitterness. This charge isn't led out of anger or frustration. It's led out of love for your neighbor. So that is who we are. That is what we need to be doing. And so we are leading out of a posture of love. And we're motivated to do that because every individual we come in contact with was made in the image of God. So if we believe the Bible to be true and that God created people and that he created man in his image and he created female in his image, if we believe that to be true, then the person at the store is an image bearer. The person that we disagree with completely is an image bearer. The Democrat is an image bearer. The Republican is an image bearer. The Independent, the Libertarian, all of them are image bearers. The Christian, the atheist, the Mormon, image bearers. That doesn't mean you can't disagree with them. It just means that should drive your interaction with them. We can disagree in a godly fashion. And so that's why Hope opened its doors. Hope opened its doors to serve not just Christians, not just conservatives, not just fill in the blank. It opened its doors to serve those that needed us. And that's why we've seen straight patients, homosexual patients, transgendered patients. And that's why we open our doors to them. That's why we don't charge them a dime. Because again, it's not about making money. It's about providing a service that they need and giving us an opportunity to have a conversation with them about things that matter. about life, about spiritual issues, about decisions and choices and education on what you're doing with your body and who you're doing that with, to have a conversation with a young woman to say your identity is not wrapped up in what you can produce and what you can provide to a man. Your identity should be wrapped up in you were created in the image of God for a purpose. Your identity is not wrapped up in your addiction. So we do that at Hope Resource Center. Why? Because people were created in the image of God. And if we believe that, then don't you think our interactions with people would look a lot different? You wouldn't see somebody that disagrees with you as an enemy. You would see them as an image bearer that just has a disagreement with you. They're not an enemy. And so where we are currently as a society and as a culture, where we see everybody as an enemy. Oh, so you voted for him or you voted for her. You're my enemy. No. And so, again, we're not pro-life because we're angry and bitter at those that made a decision in 1973 at Roe v. Wade. The decision in 1973, I disagree with it wholeheartedly. And I am angry at those that chose to make that decision. But regardless if 1973 occurred or not, life is valuable. Life was valuable before that decision, and life is valuable after that decision. All 1973 does is it makes the hill a little bit steeper. It makes the work a little bit harder. But that's okay. It might make some conversations a little bit more, but it doesn't change the fact that life has value. Why do you think we're putting an obituary and having a funeral for my pawpaw this week? If life wasn't valuable, they just put him in a box and put him in the ground tomorrow. They wouldn't invite anybody. They wouldn't post arrangements. They wouldn't do any of that. We have funerals to celebrate the life of someone. And we want all, especially in small town communities, we want all people to come, share your stories, tell, you know, all of that. We even do those for people that we know are not Christian. Why? Because we're celebrating the life. Because intrinsically, all of us know, whether we believe in God or not, all of us know life has value. So growing up out on Ostella Road in Cornersville, if somebody's fence was down and cows got out, my pawpaw and I wasn't asking, well, are they Republican? Are they white or black? Are they libertarian? Are they Christian? Are they for low taxes or high taxes? He wasn't asking those questions. He was saying, we need to go get that cow in. We need to help those people because they're our neighbors. But now we have created this mindset that devalues life. That is not who we are intrinsically. We are a people that says life has value. That's why we have medicine. That's why people become doctors. That's why we have hospitals. Because we're saying we all know life is precious. We all know life has value. Let that move us. Let that drive us to see that all lives would be celebrated. We'll be back in a sec. And we're back. It's Andrew Wood with Hope Resource Center. Thank you so much for listening. Some housekeeping items. Some big deals going on in Gatlinburg right now, January 18th through the 24th for you Tennessee residents. Visit Ripley's Aquarium of the Smokies for only $10. And each of the 7 Ripley's Guinness attractions for only $5 to help support local animal shelters. And so that's a great way to do it. You just make sure you bring your license to prove that you are a Tennessee resident. And it's a great way to have some family fun and also help in the areas of Gatlinburg with the wildfires and such. One thing that we tend to neglect at times is when those things happen, a lot of animals were displaced. And so as they're trying to figure out better ways to assist those folks, they could use some assistance. And so you can go visit the Aquarium of the Smokies and for a very reasonable price for Tennessee residents. So I would encourage you to do that. Any chance you can get to Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge is a good, good day. So I would encourage you to do that. So what we're looking at today is a life well lived. So I'm talking about my granddad and the life that he lived. 95 years came to an end yesterday. And so as we look at that and as we look at our own lives, I think funerals allow us and loss and death in our families and friends and all that, it allows us a time to reflect. And so I don't think there's any question whenever I go to a funeral, I always find myself reflecting and going, am I ready for this? And, you know, what is my life looking like? And I'm not saying that from a stance of, have I reached all my success goals and my business goals and my financial goals? I'm saying I tend to look at it, and especially what I'll do this week is I look at my granddad is I'll go, you know, he's laying there. It was a great man, a great husband, a great dad, a great granddad, just an amazing person. And so, yes, 95 years, you know, were great, but would he have defined it as success? Would he have, you know, I don't know. Again, the Woodmen didn't have conversations like that. But I think he would. You know, back at Christmas, he was in the hospital with pneumonia, and we walked in the room, and he was kind of out of it. But as soon as my kids walked in, and as soon as Aaron walked in carrying our youngest, Evelyn, my papa lit up. So here he is, 95 years old, on the brink of death. And what made him light up? His great-grandchildren. And he reaches up and he hugs my son. He hugs both my daughters. And he hugs Aaron. And he can't really hear much of what we're saying. But he's in tune and he's focused on who they are and what they mean to him. And so again, my papa doesn't realize it. But even in that hospital bed at 95 years old, he was modeling for me not just how to live well, but how to die well. And so I look at my grandparents, I look at my granddads in particular, as men that I've always wanted to be like them. And what a legacy. Because I know some of you are listening to this and you're going, my granddad was not that person. The last thing I'd want to be is him. So that's not lost on me. I understand that's a blessing and that's a gift from God. But again, it allows me to reflect. What type of man do I want to be today? What type of dad, what type of husband do I want to be? What type of granddad do I want to eventually be to my grandkids? What type of legacy are we leaving? Not in the business world. Not in the political world. But what type of legacy are we leaving for our kids, for our grandkids? You know, I said earlier that one of the most treasured blessings that I've ever received is to be called the grandson of Bruce Wood. To have that last name on my back when I played sports, to have that last name, the Wood last name, was huge for me. And I've been blessed because my middle name is Hamilton. Well, that's my mom's maiden name. So not only do I have the last name of my granddad, but I also have the last name of my mom's dad, my other granddad, as my middle name. So forever, until I take my last breath, I am representing the Hamilton name and the Wood name. And so what legacy are we leaving? Ultimately, that's why I took the job at Hope Resource Center. Sat down on the couch with my wife and I said, what are we going to tell our kids when they look at us one day and say, what were you doing while 3,000 babies were being aborted every single day? Mom and Daddy, what were you doing? And I looked at Aaron and I said, our answer right now would be absolutely nothing. But if I take that job, something. We are motivated to move, motivated to act, motivated to get engaged in our community. And so what's that for you? What legacy are you leaving? Maybe you reflect and you say, wow, pretty sorry. Pretty sorry legacy. We need to reflect. Let today be a new day. Start now. What example are we setting? My pawpaw never traveled anywhere. I asked him one day, I said, where'd you go on your honeymoon? Well, Grandma. You know what his answer was? Nowhere. We got married and I came home and milked. Still insane to me. But that was what he wanted. That's what she wanted. I used to go down to their house and Grandma would put her boots on and her dress that she made and her hat. I said, where are you going? I'm going to clean the barn. She did that for years. And loved it. Loved it. They didn't travel the world. They didn't do any of that. But the impact they've had, the impact they had on that little small community, the impact they had on our lives, the example they set, the model, nothing like it. Nothing like it. And so as I reflect on my life, as I reflect on my time with him, and I'm sure if I thought long enough, there'd be some negatives. I'm not making him out to be a saint. He had his faults, but I will say they were very few. Very few. But he was always thinking about blessing others. And it really wasn't until this week that I started to think through, you know, I get on here and I say, you know, I'm pro-life because of the Bible. I'm pro-life because of politics. I'm pro-life, you know, fill in the blank for a lot of different reasons. But all of those reasons had to be put in front of me somewhere. And so this week I started to look and I started to reflect and say, you know, Papa probably never uttered the phrase pro-life once. But through the life that he led, there was no question to me that life was valuable. Through his excitement to find out about pregnancies, through the numbers of pictures on the walls of babies and in our family, there was never a question that he celebrated life. Even down to when people his age started dying and seeing him at funerals and seeing him interact with people. Seeing him put on that coat and tie because that's how you go and you respect. Seeing all of that, watching all of that, and trying to get a grasp and an understanding of why does he put in the work that he does? Why does he put in the effort that he does? Why doesn't he care about traveling? Why doesn't he care about these other things that society says we must care about? The nice new truck, the nice new tractor, the nice new all these things. He didn't care about those things. And so now I look back and I go, that was him leading by example. Saying there's nothing wrong with what some would call a simple life. There's nothing wrong with getting up early in the morning, going to work, and then coming home that night tired and exhausted from working hard. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with loving your family. And so I watched all of that. And now as a grown man and as a husband and as a father, I'm starting to see how he groomed me, how he shaped me, how he molded me. And he didn't even, and maybe he did realize it. I didn't realize it at the time. But now that I'm grown, I look back and I go, wow, I've taken a lot from what I saw him do. And I'm applying it to my life. And so, folks, what I would say to you is this week, and especially, you know, we're still early in a new year, 2017. And so many people, you have half the country that are super excited about this week and a transition to a new president. You have half the country that are super bummed about the transition to a new president. And you have some that are saying, woe is me, all is over. And you have others that are saying, finally, hope has come to this country. And I'll just remind you that if you think back 8 years ago, you had half the country that were super pumped about the new transition, and you had half the country that weren't. I mean, that's just how we are. But I would say to you, please do not see your neighbor as your enemy if they disagree with you. We will never see the needle move in the right direction if we see our neighbors as our enemies. But if we're willing and man enough and woman enough to sit down with those that disagree with us and have a conversation on these very, very important issues that are affecting millions and millions of life every single day, if we're willing to have those conversations, then I can promise you we'll see the needle move in the right direction. And what we'll see is we'll see better relationships that are more equipped and more ready to go through those tougher times. So let us be a people that are willing to have conversations. And in particular, you know, on this show, what we talk about is life. Have that conversation about life, about pro-life, about the beginning of life, about the end of life. How does that look for you? How does that look for your friends and family? Have that conversation. We'll be back in a sec. And we're back with Andrew Wood, Executive Director of Hope Resource Center. So as we close out the show today, I first would ask for your prayers for my family as we have visitation and the funeral for my granddad on Friday and Saturday. Would really appreciate that. My brothers would, my dad would, and my uncle and my cousins as well. So would really appreciate that if you don't mind. Again, his name is Bruce Wood, and just a great man. Right now, as we talk, we are hosting parenting classes at Hope Resource Center for some patients, and so I would ask that you continue to pray for our interaction with these patients and the opportunity to see them equipped to become the moms that they've been called to be. And so I would just really ask that you would pray for our patients and those that are in parenting class. And as you know, after the parenting classes are over, we throw baby showers. We do over 50 baby showers every single year. So if you feel so led to partner with us and join us, you can go to investinghope.com, click on the big blue button that says donate, and partner with us. Remember, every dollar that is given is going to impact a life in this community. And so what that means is we do not receive state money. We do not receive federal money. We do not receive any tax dollars. We receive individual donations from churches, businesses, and individuals like you. And so we certainly appreciate that. And we're able to provide almost $600,000 worth of services every single year because people like you give. So if you want to go to investinghope.com and click on that big blue button, we'd appreciate it. If you want to help out with baby showers, we also would accept brand new car seats, pack and plays, clothes, diapers, diaper bags, strollers, all of those things. Remember, we give only brand new items to these patients. And the reason we do that is because so many of these patients have received second and thirds their entire life, and they deserve better. Why? Because they were made in the image of God. And so because we believe that to be true and we know that to be true, we are going to provide them with what they need. And again, it's not about making money off of them. It's about showing them that they were made for a purpose and that they have value. Not just what they can produce, not just that baby, but they, as the mom, have value and matter to us. And so we're able to serve, we're able to do what we do at Hope because you stand up and give and you pray and you partner with us. We could not ask for any better partners in this community. Over 50 churches in this community that support us and stand with us, and we are just in absolute awe of what God allows us to be a part of. If you go to Calvary out on Kingston Pike, I will see you there Sunday morning. If you go to Union Baptist out on Manorville Pike, I will see you there Sunday night. It's going to be a fun time. We're going to talk about hope. We're going to talk about life and why we are pro-life from a biblical standpoint, why do we stand like we do? Why am I driving to Washington, D.C. next week to join tens of thousands to March for Life? Because it matters. It's been 43 years since Roe v. Wade. 43. And so remember again, our goal is not that abortion would be simply illegal. Our goal is that abortion would be unthinkable in a civilized society. Many would argue we are the greatest country this planet has ever seen. But our abortion laws put us in the company of North Korea and China and other places that we would not want to be in company with on any other issue. And so think about that as you think through your life stance and your belief on this issue. And also remember, and I think it's always important that we come back to this, the pro-life issue is the issue that will define my generation. There's no question in my mind. But we are about more than issues. People matter more than issues. If we only focus on this as a simple issue, then we will tend to neglect and forget about the people that this affects every single day. And so I would encourage you, and I would ask that you don't just focus on the issue, but you focus on the people that are affected by this issue every single day. That young mom that finds herself in crisis. That young dad that isn't sure if he can be a dad or not. That young mom that already has one child who's not even a year old and finds herself pregnant again. These are real people with real lives, with real struggles, with real concerns. And we don't neglect that. And so, yes, we are pro-life. And yes, we fight for that issue. But we never do that and neglect the person that it's affecting. And so your gifts, your prayers, your time, your donations, all of that are affecting real people. Not just the issue of life, but affecting real people in this community, and we could not thank you enough. We'll talk to you soon.